Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU Third Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first 9 months and third quarter of 2017, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. If it doesn't pop up right away, try selecting the year and the quarter. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today. So just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number 2 of our presentation. And with that, we can begin. We posted our results for the first 9 months and third quarter of 2017 on Tuesday afternoon. On a consolidated basis, we reported net income of 9.3 billion pesos for the 9 months and 3.7 billion pesos for the quarter. EBITDA totaled 102 billion pesos for the 9 months, 5.4% higher than last year, and 36 billion pesos for the quarter, which is 1.6% higher than last year. EBITDA margin grew 10 basis points in the first 9 months to 5.5% and remained stable in the third quarter at 5.7%. Revenues grew 1.9% in the first 9 months to 1,845 billion pesos, and they grew 1.3% in the quarter to 629 billion pesos. On slides 3 and 4, we have more detail on revenue. Starting on slide number 3, as I just mentioned, we had consolidated revenue growth of 1.9% in the first 9 months and 1.3% in the quarter. Broken down by segment, food retail revenue grew 2.2% in the first 9 months of the year and 0.9% in the third quarter. This is a lower growth rate than we have seen in recent years, and it's a continuation of the trend we saw in the first half of this year. Slower growth is something we're seeing in this industry in general, partly explained by lower food inflation during this year. And given the current macro trends, including the appreciation in the exchange rate, we believe this may continue in the coming months. Our revenue growth in the food retail segment was driven by Unimark, with 3.3% growth in the 9 months. Our construction materials segment had lower revenues in the 9 month period, a decrease of 0.6%, which reflects deceleration in the industry during the first half of this year due to the performance of the Chilean economy, as well as a high comparison basis in the beginning of 2016 related to the effects of tax reform on the real estate sector, which positively affected our B2B business last year. However, in the third quarter of this year, we had revenue growth of 4.8%, driven by growth in the B2B segment, partly because of a lower comparison base in the third quarter of last year, and also because of some signs of recovery in the construction industry. On this slide, we can also see gross margins, which increased 70 basis points in the first 9 months and 40 basis points in the third quarter. This increase is partly due to greater commercial efficiency and partly due to the increase in our internal restocking services and in our centralized distribution. Just as a reminder, when we say centralized distribution, we mean the distribution of products through our distribution centers, as opposed to the products being delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. Higher levels of centralization lead to higher distribution costs, which are reflected in operating expenses, but that impact is offset by the fee that we charge suppliers for providing these logistics services, and that impact is reflected in the gross profit. On the next slide, we have a more visual breakdown to explain revenue growth in the first 9 months of this year. On the far left, we have the comparison with the revenues for the first 9 months of last year, around 1,810 billion pesos, which is not to scale in the graph. The most important change year over year comes from our Unimark supermarkets, which account for 63% of consolidated revenue and 70% of our food retail revenue. Revenue for that format grew 3.3% in the first 9 months of the year. You can also see a negative impact in our cash and carry format. In this format, we have two brands, Aldi, which is a more traditional cash and carry or wholesale format, whose customers are mostly mom and pop type neighborhood stores, and Mayorista 10, which is in a transition process as we shift the focus of its value proposition from mom and pop to final customers, with a focus on low prices for customers and lower operating expenses. In the first 9 months of this year, sales growth in Aldi was outweighed by lower revenue in Mayorista 10, as you can see on the slide. However, in the third quarter, we had positive revenue growth in both Aldi and Mayorista 10. As the new value proposition for Mayorista 10 matures, we expect to see continued improvements in sales. We have some growth in the convenience and e-grocery businesses, although convenience store revenue was lower in the third quarter due to store closures. Same-store sales in the quarter were still positive for this format. Our food retail operations in Peru have had significant revenue growth, 15.8% in the first 9 months, although this business does account for less than 2% of consolidated revenue. This growth is partly due to the implementation of a new strategy, taking advantage of synergies with our Chilean operations, which has also allowed us to improve gross margin. We started to see a strong improvement in sales during the fourth quarter of last year, and that has continued. And finally, as I mentioned before, the construction materials business had lower revenues in the first 9 months due to a weaker first half, in line with performance in the industry overall, but we did have positive revenue growth in the third quarter. The reason for this has to do with the two different segments in this business. The retail segment has grown throughout the year, 5.8% in the first 9 months and 3.1% in the third quarter, whereas the B2B segment had a decrease of 4% for the 9 months, but an increase of 5.7% in the third quarter. B2B accounts for over 60% of revenue, which is why it has such a strong impact on overall segment performance. On the next slide, we have same-store sales and sales per square meter performance for the food retail segment. These indicators reflect the same trends that we have been seeing in revenue. Overall growth of 2.2% in same-store sales in the first 9 months and 1.3% in the quarter, which is lower than we have seen in recent years, with solid performance for Unimark with 3.1% in the 9 months and 1.0% in the quarter, and for Peru with 14.8% in the 9 months and 11.5% in the quarter, as well as OK Market with 4.5% in the 9 months and 2.5% in the quarter. And weaker performance for the cash and carry format overall for the 9 months with negative 1.1%, but starting to show positive results in the third quarter, growing 0.3%. Sales per square meter grew 2.6% for the first 9 months and 1.9% for the quarter, which is also lower than in recent years, but in line with revenue growth and industry performance. On slide six, we have operating expenses, which are distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. OPEX, as a percentage of revenue, increased 50 basis points in the first 9 months to 21.6% and 30 basis points in the quarter to 21.1%. The most significant increase is in personnel expenses, which account for just about half of our administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. Personnel expenses increased by 4.9% in the first 9 months, and this was due to inflation adjustments to salaries and an increase in the minimum wage. However, in the third quarter, personnel expenses only grew by 1.4%, as increases related to inflation adjustments and a minimum wage were partly offset by a lower average headcount. Distribution expenses increased 9.3%, which is mainly related to the increase in centralized distribution. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, our rate of centralized distribution for the first 9 months of 2017 was 45.3%, which is an increase over last year's 42.5%. Higher rates of centralization allow us to be more efficient in our inventory management and also have a positive impact on our in-store product availability. On slide number seven, we have our consolidated EBITDA, including both food retail and construction materials, which grew 5.4% in the first 9 months for a total of 102 billion pesos. In the third quarter, EBITDA grew 1.6% to 36 billion pesos. The consolidated EBITDA margin grew from 5.4% in the first 9 months of last year to 5.5% for the first 9 months of this year, reflecting the fact that gross margin increased more than operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. In the quarter, EBITDA margin remained stable at 5.7%. On slide number eight, we have EBITDA broken down by business. At the top of the slide, we have the food retail segment, where EBITDA grew 6.9% in the first 9 months with a margin expansion from 5.7% to 6.0%. In the third quarter, EBITDA grew 3.1% and EBITDA margin increased from 6.0% to 6.1%. In the construction materials segment, EBITDA fell 30.8% in the first 9 months and 39.1% in the third quarter. And EBITDA margin also decreased from 2.2% to 1.5% in the 9 months and from 2.2% to 1.3% in the quarter. On slide number 9, we have a look at net income, which totaled 9 billion pesos for the first 9 months of this year. Although our operating results have improved, and we also had positive variations in a number of non-operating line items due to lower inflation and lower interest expense during the period, net income was 1.5 billion pesos lower in the first 9 months of this year compared to the same period of last year. And that is mainly due to the impact of foreign currency translation differences. Last year, we had a much higher stock of dollar-denominated debt because this year we have paid off dollar-denominated debt and we have also fully hedged our international bond with a cross-currency swap. In addition, the appreciation of the Chilean peso was higher last year than it was in the first 9 months of this year. Therefore, last year there was a higher rate effect from the appreciation and a higher base effect from the higher stock of dollar-denominated debt, and consequently, the gain on foreign currency translation differences was much higher last year, 19.7 billion pesos more. Also contributing to the lower net income was a lower income tax benefit, which decreased by 5.4 billion pesos in the first 9 months of this year versus last year. It is important to note this is an accounting effect, but not a cash effect, because of our accumulated tax losses. The decrease is primarily explained by inflation adjustments to our deferred tax assets, as our net operating losses are adjusted for inflation, and inflation was lower in 2017 than in 2016, and in the third quarter we actually had deflation. These adjustments explain around 3 billion pesos of the difference. In addition, the higher pre-tax income in the first 9 months of 2017 than in the first 9 months of 2016 generated higher expenses for income tax for the current period. Net income for the third quarter was 3.7 billion pesos, which was higher than the third quarter of last year, as we had improvements to operating results and non-operating results, since we did not have a significant foreign currency translation impact during the quarter. On the next slide, we have a summary of some of our recent highlights. I'll start with an update on Plan CIMA, which is our strategic plan for the 2017 to 2019 period. The plan has six strategic pillars, including customer experience, operating efficiency, organizational excellence, sustainability, technological development, and financial strengthening. With respect to customer experience, one of our most important initiatives is upgrading a group of our Unimark supermarkets. Between October and November, we re-inaugurated the first three stores, and we will be re-inaugurating five more next month. The complete first group of 10 stores that we've been upgrading this year should be ready during the first quarter of 2018. We plan to upgrade an additional 30 stores next year. With respect to operating efficiency, one of the main initiatives is increasing our centralized distribution so we can optimize our inventory management. As I mentioned before, we are at a centralization rate of 45.3% for the first 9 months of this year. In previous quarters, we've also mentioned the training program that we are rolling out in order to standardize key in-store processes. We are doing this by groups of stores, and the first group of 60 stores will be completed by the end of this year. Another part of Plan CIMA has to do with strengthening our financial position. In that respect, during the third quarter, we placed another local bond to refinance existing debt. The bond was for $1 million UF, or approximately $42 million. It matures in 2 years, and the interest rate is UF, or inflation, plus 3.0%, and that will allow us to generate savings on interest expense. We used part of the proceeds of the bond to pay the remaining dollar-denominated debt we had with Leroy and Vial and Compass, and as a result, we have reduced our dollar-denominated debt to practically zero. On November 9th, we announced that we had signed a binding agreement for the sale of our construction materials subsidiary, Construmart. This asset has been available for sale since 2013, as it lacks synergies with our core food retail business. The transaction is subject to a series of conditions, including the completion of the due diligence process, which is currently in progress. The price of the assets is 54 billion pesos. Net financial debt will be discounted from the price, and there may be other adjustments that are habitual for transactions of this nature, such as for changes in working capital. Should this transaction be completed, it will allow us to focus on our core business and to reduce debt. Finally, On November 16th, we completed a capital increase for approximately $150 million through the placement of 575 million shares on the Santiago Stock Exchange. The proceeds of this capital increase will allow us to continue our deleveraging process. The progress we've made in terms of operating results and also the actions we have taken to strengthen our financial position have led to a number of upgrades in our credit ratings, which are summarized on slide 11. Feller Rate completed their annual review in August and improved the outlook on our local rating from stable to positive. Humphreys also completed their annual review in November, and they upgraded our rating from BB- with a positive outlook to BB with a stable outlook. Following the capital increase and the announcement about the agreement to sell ComstraMart, S&P upgraded our international rating to B with a stable outlook. Feller Rate upgraded our rating two notches from BB- to BB+ and kept the positive outlook. ICR changed the outlook on our BB+ rating from stable to positive. And Humphreys upgraded our BB rating two notches to BBB-, which is an investment grade rating. As we continue with our efforts to optimize our capital structure and further reduce our interest expense, we hope that the rating upgrades, combined with our increasingly healthy financial position, will help give the company access to improved financing conditions. On slide 12, you can see how the composition of our debt has changed since the end of last year as a result of the IPO in January, hedge of our international bond in March, and local bond placements in April and September. We had total debt as of September 30, 2017, of approximately 841 billion pesos, which is approximately $1.3 billion. That total number includes approximately 260 billion pesos, or $400 million, in financial leases, which are mostly store rental agreements that qualify as financial leases under IFRS. For purposes of showing the breakdown of our financial debt, we have excluded them here in the pie charts on the left, but they are included in the net debt to EBITDA calculation on the right in order to provide a more conservative figure. The IPO and bond placements have enabled us to repay some of our most expensive debt, which will continue to generate savings and interest expenses going forward. In the pie charts at the top of the slide, you can see that we have paid off all of our related party debt. At the bottom of the slide, you can see that we have significantly reduced our U.S. dollar denominated debt through paying down debt and by hedging the international bond. As of September 30th, our financial debt, excluding leases, only includes about 2 billion pesos in dollar-denominated debt, mainly relating to letters of credit. On the bottom right, you can see that we have reduced net debt to EBITDA from 8.1 times at the end of 2015 to 6.6 times at the end of 2016 to 5.6 times at the end of the third quarter. We also added a pro forma figure to reflect the impact of the capital increase on our net debt, which, as you can see, brings us down from 5.6 times to 4.9 times. We are continuing to look for ways to optimize our capital structure and reduce our interest expense, and the recent capital increase will certainly help us with that. Finally, on slide 12, we have an updated debt maturity profile that reflects the bond issuance during the third quarter, maturing in 2019. We still have two big maturities in 2020, the $300 million international bond and the final payment of the syndicated loan, and we would like to have a more evenly distributed maturity profile, so that is something that we are looking at. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We'll pause for just a moment as callers join the queue. And the first question comes from Alonzo Aramburu with BGT. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I have two questions. First, Arturo, if you can comment on the closing of Unimark stores. There's been five closings this year, and so can you just walk us through why the closings? I imagine these were underperforming stores, and whether we should be expecting more of these in the next few months. And second, if you can comment on same store sales trends in the fourth quarter. Have you seen any change from what we've seen in 3Q numbers? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Alonso. The first question about of the closing of the Unimark store. In fact, we closed five stores, four stores for low performance, and one store, because we suffered the fire in the store, we are analyzing the open or close the store definitively. The fourth store that we closed for low performance, the idea was to eliminate 100% of the store in Unimark with low performance or lower EBITDA or negative EBITDA. But today, after that, we are not seeing additional store to close in the next 12 months. The idea is to keep the same number of store in 2018, summing two additional store, because our idea is to open one store in Talagante and in Santiago, and another store in the northern part of Chile. But we are not considering any additional closing in 2018. In the second question, about the trends of same store sales for Q4, no doubt the low level of food inflation will be present in Q4 as well. But anyway, we are expecting in Q4 better same-store sale, but not too much than in comparison with the rest of the year. The trend will be similar, better than Q3, but in the level of the full year analysis, because the food inflation probably will be higher in 2018, because we need the recuperation of the consumption in Chile and the Chilean economy expectation that probably after the election will be higher, but will be in 2018. In Q4, probably will be a little bit better than Q3, but not too much.
Great. Thank you, Arturo.
Our next question comes from Miguel Morano with Larinval. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arturo and Caroline. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the wholesalers, Mayorista 10 and Alvi. They are still underperforming the Unimark, and we have seen a trend of reducing the same-store sales, at least in Unimark. Where is there any change in patterns of consumption of people going to more informal sector, and looking, if people are looking for better prices, this should be good for wholesalers. Can you give us a comment of these consumption patterns, and what do you expect for wholesalers for the next year, and give a difference of Mayorista 10 and Alvi, and if you can give us also a color in EBITDA from those formats for wholesalers. And the second question is to make a follow-up on Alonso's question about the center sales. If you can give us some breakdown about if this is more traffic or this is more price, and a breakdown in terms, if you have, in terms of categories, maybe perishables are the ones that are underperforming. I know that it's inflation and it's all for all products, but if you can give us a breakdown to understand more the number, will be great. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Miguel. First question about the wholesalers. In fact, I read the article in Diario Financiero today talking about this, the possible change in the patterns of consumption in more informal market. To be honest, I don't see changes in the pattern. Of course, because if you see the mop and pop segment in comparison with supermarket, for example, Aldi and Unimark, we're not seeing more demand in Aldi, because this informal market or segment should be purchasing in Aldi or in Central Mayorista or in other competitors in the mop and pops market. But we are not seeing this phenomenon in the industry. Therefore, the main issue in the wholesale segment and also in the supermarket segment is more in line with the lower level of food inflation. In fact, if you see, because in, if you compare the food inflation in the previous years was close to 5%, and the same store sale in the industry grew 6.5%. The, in real terms, the industry grew 1.52%. This year, Unimar are growing 3.3%, but the food inflation is 1.8% in the accumulated 12 months. Therefore, we have 1.5 in real term growth in Unimar. In similar level in real terms with the previous year. Therefore, the, in my opinion, the main effect in is the food inflation level. In the wholesale market or segment, we have in the previous month or six months in this year, the low performance in Mayorista 10, because we are in transition process, changing the assortment with more focus in final consumer. But in the Q3, the performance of Mayorista 10 was very good, much better than the previous month this year. And in Q4, we are seeing the same performance, better than the previous in the first half of this year. Therefore, very very confident that this format is consolidating the assortment and the position in the segment on the low cost segment, competing better with our competitors in this format. But I don't see in summary the change in the patterns of our clients, because the food inflation is very low, but I don't see important movement from supermarket segment to wholesale segment for this reason. And the second question about of the same store sale price and transaction, essentially the change we are seeing more changes in the average ticket. In the average ticket, you have two elements: the food inflation effect, and also the number of products in the basket. The lower consumption in the Chilean economy, of course, affect the number of the product in the basket, and the food inflation is affecting the price. In terms of the transaction, we are not seeing an important changes. The level of transaction is similar in Unimar and wholesale segment. The main effect in this deceleration is in the average ticket. For these two elements, in food inflation and also lower number of product in the basket.
Perfect. Good. Well, just a quick follow-up regarding the opportunities of private labels in this slowdown scenario. Have you seen a trend to improve the sales of or to switch from normal products to private labels? What is the penetration that you have there? Have you seen any changes?
Our level of private label penetration in Unimar is 9% today. The idea is to reach something like 10 or 11% in the next 12 months. In Mayorista 10, the idea is to increase more the private label, reaching something like 20-25%. Because in this segment, the role of private label is more important in terms of price and pricing, and the idea to increase in this segment more than Unimar.
Perfect. Thank you, Drew.
Our next question comes from Carolina Ratto with Credicorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arturo, Caroline, thank you for receiving my questions. Could you comment on the competitive dynamics in the supermarkets for the fourth quarter and the possible impact in margins, and how much of this effect could be compensated by efficiencies?
Hi, Karen. Carolina. In fact, the competitiveness was higher in Q3 with an aggressive promotional activities, but practically in the full year, but affecting no doubt the revenues of the old companies because you reduce the price, but you recover part of this price reduction through rebate or in the cost, because the promotional activities are financed from suppliers. Therefore, in our case, the margin is increasing for this reason, affecting, of course, the revenues line. And our idea is to keep the level of margin. In fact, we're increasing because we're increasing as well the centralization level, increasing from 42% in the beginning of this year to 45%. This is another effect that represents more or less 20 basis points in our gross margin improvement. But no doubt the high competitiveness will be present in Q4. December is a very, very important month for all competitors. No doubt promotional activities or initiative will be very aggressive, affecting the revenues line, but we're expecting a positive effect in our gross margin.
I'm sorry, so do you think that you could have...
In the previous month this year.
So do you still expect an EBITDA margin improvement for the fourth quarter in food?
Yes, because it's a good quarter because because it's possible to dilute the more expenses in this quarter, especially in December.
Okay, thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much for joining us today. I hope everyone has a great day, and we hope to have you with us for the next call in March. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.